Anytime you like.
So,
Cody.
Sorry, one more time. Come in on one. One, two, three, four. Cody's Podcast.
Thanks once again to Sactual Chocolate for doing the little Cody podcast harmonizing sound drop there off the top. How cool is that? Okay, this time we're talking with Na Nguyen, and we taped this. It was her second week at the station, and we made her do some of the dumbest stuff in her first 2 weeks. She'll tell you the story about it, but one of them was this photo shoot for the cover of a Fabio romance novel. Absolutely, absolutely hilarious. She is so funny and so charming. I'm seriously, every time I see her, she's got a smile on her face. She never complains. Just a really neat person. And the really cool thing is she grew up watching Good Day Sacramento. I mean, like, that's what she watched when she was a kid, and now she's on it. So it's kind of surreal for her. So here you go, Na Nguyen. So, tell the people how to say your name properly. How do you say your name properly?
I say Nah. Nah. I don't want to do that. That's how I get people to remember. Nah. I don't want to talk to you. That's usually what I hear a lot of.
Nah, I don't want to talk to you?
Yeah. You know, that's what I tell people. It's like, I know that's what you want to say to me.
That's so not true. You're so funny. Everybody loves talking to you. It's so funny. You, like, walk in the room, everybody's like, oh, it's just so funny. Okay, so your sister, though, her name is pretty damn close to your name, though.
Yes, uh-huh. We are separated. I have friends who actually make fun of me, and they think it's really funny when I just say the three of our names together because, like, they sound very similar. So, like, we're literally, through the three of us, are separated by one letter. So it's Nyan, Nyan, Nyan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when I say it fast enough, people would be like, your parents aren't very creative. I was like, in Vietnamese, it sounds very different. But yes, her name, there was a lot of confusion when we used to get phone calls at our house, mostly probably on my end because I'm young and I'm quite a few years younger than her. But so her name's NGA and my name's NHA.
Okay.
So when you say her name, it's in Vietnamese, it's Nha. So it's pretty soft. When you say my name, it's Nha. So it's like heavier. But when people call, that's not what they say. They say, is Nha there? And I'm like, who are you talking about? And the only way that I could clear up the confusion is I would actually ask people to spell the name out. And then I'd be like, can you spell it for me? And they'd spell it for me. And eventually, I don't know if this is a reason, but my sister changed her name, legally changed her name to Maria. And that's her baptized name. So her name now, she's married now, it's Maria Wilson, which is completely different than...
Completely different. Yeah. I have to give her a call now. Okay, so how big of the family? You say you're from a big family. How big a family?
Oh, huge. So my parents had decided that it would be a good idea to have eight children. Yeah, I am
children,
the...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So five girls, three boys. I'm the seventh of eight. I'm the youngest girl, so I'm the baby girl, but I have a little brother who's 4 years younger than me.
And his name is?
Marcus.
Marcus.
The
after...
only... Yes, after Marcus Allen. Mm-hmm. We joke about it because my sister, when we had him, he's the only one with an American name. My sister's like, he's an American, he's gonna have an American name. And she loved the show that Mark used to be on called Scratch. She's like, it's gonna be Marcus. So then we joke about it now. We were talking about it the other day because her husband was making fun of her because, you know, my parents immigrated over. She was actually also one of the kids who immigrated over. And we said that she just didn't understand English. And that's why we'd ended up naming him Marcus instead of just Mark. But, you know, it's the same, basically. Like, it's totally the same. But it's kind of a joke about that.
Well, it's funny because everywhere you go, people go, Marcus!
Yeah.
Hi, Marcus! What's up, Marcus?
Yeah! Like, and he says the same thing. His mom calls him Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was saying the other day. And he's like, why didn't you just name me Marcus then?
It would have been so much easier on everybody. That's funny. So they named it for Mark. So you grew up watching Good Day. So this has got to be, like, kind of weird that you're actually on the show that you watch as a kid.
Weird and awesome. I love it. It's kind of, I say it every day, and I feel like a broken record, but it's just unreal kind of being here. To have been on the other side of that television and watching, like, oh, this is so great. And to be back in my hometown, actually living in the house that I grew up in, and being a part of this team of people, and, like, I was like, this is my job? Like, this is what I get to do every day? It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I do that every day. I go home and I'm like, really? I did that? And I get paid for that? Really?
Yeah,
I gotta pay?
What?
Sometimes I feel like
I should give them their money back because I just had a lot of fun. Yeah. Other days, they should pay me double. You know what I'm saying? You
it's,
know?
A, it's kind of a back and forth, right? A balance.
Okay, so you grew up watching this weird show. Did it influence you to go into broadcasting, or is it?
I think it kind of did. I gravitated towards that. I always tell people if I had to pinpoint a moment where I really developed a really strong interest was I used to do just, it sounds so silly, but I used to do morning announcements when I was in middle school.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like a big deal or anything, but like my administrators and my office staff used to be like, oh, you'd be so good at doing radio or doing like television. And it just kind of stuck with me, but that wasn't the track that I was on when I was a kid. I always say my parents were really disappointed when I went to college and I didn't become a doctor or a lawyer. It's like the stereotypical Asian thing to do. And I actually loved science. And then I went to school and I was like, in my first year of college, and I was like, I don't want to spend 10 years in you know, school. And I didn't know at the time. I was like, well, let me try this. And then I was really nervous. I wasn't sure if it was something that I could succeed in. I never had anybody in my family or anybody I knew who'd kind of gone off that track and done something else.
Had you ever seen somebody that was Vietnamese on television?
I mean, yeah. I think my parents, it was weird because I think it was interesting. I don't think my parents ever really got it, even though they know what news is, because there are news programs for Vietnamese people. I think they come, a lot of them come out of like San Jose or Orange County area in California. Okay. So I think they understood it, but I don't think they really got what I was doing until my brother like showed him a clip of me online back where I was before.
The reason I asked you that is like when I was growing up in Alabama, I never thought that I could be on television because I never saw anybody on the TV that sounded like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was it never crossed my mind that I could do that because everybody on TV had this non-accent accent. And I'm from Alabama, you know, and I'm talking like this and all that. I can't be on TV. My teeth are funny. You know, I never saw anybody like that. So that's why I asked you that. I was like, did you see anybody in the market or anything like that?
I mean, I think I understood. And I think, I mean, that's the thing too. Is like, I didn't think I could do it because I don't, one, like there's not really a big, I think more so now than before, but a big Asian population in the media or in entertainment. You know, like when you look at those things, what you see on television is generally, you know, an African-American person or a white person. You don't see a lot of Asians. And so, I think that's why for me, I felt like I couldn't make it.
Yeah,
like there wasn't a market for me. Uh-huh. And so I wasn't sure it was something that I would pursue or could pursue. And so I actually left and I spent a year abroad. I call it my real fake job. I was teaching English in South Korea, but I only taught like 12 hours a week. So the rest of my time was, I was left to my own thoughts and like, what am I gonna do when I have to go back to real life? And I was like, you know, I've always wanted to do this. And it's one of those things where it's like, until, I didn't think I could, but it's one of those things, unless you do it and you fail, you can't really, you know, I feel like it would have been something I regretted. And, you know, I came back, I kind of busted my butt and I got my first job in Oregon. And I am kind of like in disbelief that I'm here, that I get to be home already. And so I feel really lucky.
Just so you thought maybe further down the road that you would finally come back.
Yeah.
But you kind of shot in the dark. You called John Armand, our new news director, and he actually answered the phone and called you back. And
it was crazy. I remember him, I called and I left a message because I knew I called like the front and I knew he wasn't in. So I just left a message. And like probably just a couple hours later, I get a phone call and he's like, hey, this is John. And I'm like, I was like, I thought you weren't in the office. Like, I'm not. He was on a plane on his way to the East Coast. And I was like, and so we just chatted. And, you know, because for me, it was like, I just wanted to make that connection. I wanted, you know, for when the time came, when an opportunity arose. I feel like in these bigger markets, too, they're kind of few and far in between that I hope I want to be considered. You know, it doesn't always work out that you get to be chosen. But, you know, what can I do to make myself a really good candidate? And it worked out. Like every day I'm like, is this really? I mean, like, is this my desk? Are you sure?
Yeah, that's interesting because like as a news director, they never call you back. I used to be a news director. I never called anybody back. I was terrible about that. Of course, I'm that bad about that now about everything. But that's great. He called you back. So obviously he saw something in you and he said, oh, this is this person. I think it's really cool when somebody is from this market and comes back to work at this market because you grew up with this, so you kind of understand the history of it. And I think that's really neat, you know. And are you getting, like, are people now figuring out, like, oh, that's a girl from high school I went to. Are you getting messages from people?
Yeah. Actually, the first weekend I worked here, it was the oddest thing. I am still really good friends with a lot of my teachers. And, you know, Facebook and social media always really connects you that way. Mm-hmm. So in middle school, actually, it goes back to this. He always makes fun of me. But it was, like, just curious. The question of the day was, like, tell us a story about playing hooky. And my story was about how in middle school, I used to skip class and my friends and I would walk down to like Florence Stockton area and there were all these like 1 hour photo booths and we do like photo shoots. That's what we would do when we skipped school. So I have photographic evidence of pretty much probably every time that I ever skipped class. And like literally within like 5-10 minutes after that, my middle school PE teacher, Mr. Zepeda, he messaged me and he had taken a screenshot and his comment was, "Hey, I need to see those pictures. You skipping out on school?" And he like tags like another girl that I was really good friends with in school. And it was so weird because it's like, I'm going to get that now because it's kind of scary. You know, Ron actually on the CBS side, uh-huh. He was saying, he's like, "Do you ever feel like a little bit nervous?" And I did, because I mean, not that I didn't care what people were thinking in other markets, but it's different when this, you see this place as your community and there's people who know you. Right. And then you're like, I should be careful about the things I expose myself. I mean, it wasn't anything. It was hilarious. But I was like, that was so weird.
That's great. That's great. And I came up with that topic, by the way. Really? I feel very proud of myself.
Good.
That I
got it was great.
That you played hooky. that's so funny. Okay. So you've been here a good 3 weeks as we're taping this. The weirdest stuff that you've had to do so far?
The weirdest thing, probably because I'm thinking about now because somebody else reminded me about today. They're like, "Weren't you on this? What were you doing?" Because he couldn't remember. And I was like, "Oh, the Fabio thing." And I felt like that was the strangest thing. And it was one of those things. I kind of set myself up for it. I didn't really think that I was going to do the story. It was a suggestion that our EP had made because it was Fabio's birthday. How could we celebrate? And they needed something to fill the time, so I just called around to photographers and to see who would be interested, and I found one, and they got back to me so quick, and it just kind of mushroomed into this bigger thing, because he's like, "Oh, do you want a makeup artist and a hair person? I'll have the lights and all this stuff," and then like I kind of, which is, it could have been any, I was like, it could have been Steve if he wasn't behind the camera. I was like, "Do you have somebody who could stand in so that we can have two people actually pose for the cover?" And then he asked, like, I feel bad, too, because I talked with the two guys who were modeling later. No. They had no idea what they were doing when they came. they thought they were coming to do workout, like, shoots or whatever. Uh-huh. And one of the guys, it's small world, but his kids go to the same school as my niece and my nephew.
Oh, okay.
But I saw him later. I was talking to him. He's like, "I had no idea." And so my kids are watching with my wife, like thinking they're watching like a workout segment. And there's this woman in his arms and it's not his wife. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry." And the kids obviously are like, the wife was there too. Her name's Kristen. And I looked at her and I was like, "I'm so sorry." She's like, "It was fine." But the kids were really confused. Like they looked at me and just to make sure I was okay. And I was like, I felt so bad for them because they had no idea
happening. You were recreating a romance novel cover.
Yes.
And so the Fabio-esque guy without a shirt on,
yeah,
is kind of bending you over,
yeah,
and you're looking longingly in his eyes as you guys hold butter.
Yes. It was uncomfortable. I was really nervous about that because, I mean, I went home and I was like, I didn't realize until like that Saturday night, I was like, "Oh, I should probably look up some of these covers."
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that, you know, the romance novel covers, whatever. And I go through, I was like, "Man, are really intimate," and I was like, "And I'm gonna be doing this with strangers, like what?" And I felt really uncomfortable and I was super nervous because it wasn't just one guy, it's like these two random guys I don't know. And then, you know, thank goodness for Steve, you know, I was just kind of joking about Fabio, and then I was like talking about how he's known for these "I can't believe it's not butter" ads.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Oh man, we should totally get a tub and incorporate it into the photos." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." So we stopped by Walmart right here before we go to that live shot, and it was the perfect way to break the ice. So, and like, it was just like, we used it. And it was just funny because I would look at these strangers in the eyes and try to like, you know, bring up some sort of like loving feeling. And I just wanted to laugh because it was so uncomfortable for both of us, I'm sure. And
so
then we
funny.
Brought out the non-butter product and it just made it work.
It just,
you know,
made it work.
It just made it work.
Now, I've known Steve for a long time. He's going to bring up, "Hey, we should get a tub," a lot on a daily basis when you go out with him. Just warning you right now.
I'll keep that in mind.
Now, could you hear the story of my Fabio story? Have you heard
this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was actually on the show. And Marianne and I thought it would be funny if I dressed up like Fabio's long-lost brother, Botavio is what we called him. So I put this wig on, and I got the art department to make this amazing cutout of a romance novel. So it had, like, the words that said something-something romance, but it had a hole built where you could stand there. And we thought it would be funny if Fabio would you know, stand there next to a woman and dip her and we'd make the cover, right? Well, I was very busy that morning. And he came into the studio, and I didn't have a chance to warn him what we were doing. So here's Fabio, you know, and he's doing his thing, and he's talking to Marianne during the segment, and I come around the corner with this stupid giant, you know, poster thing, you know, of a romance novel, and I've got this wig on, and my shirt is unbuttoned to my navel, and I just kind of walk up, and he's like, "What is going on?" You know, and I was like, "Totally forgot to tell you, but I'm your long-lost cousin, Botavio." He was hilarious.
Really?
He was everything you wanted to be. We took him over to Starbucks here in West Sacramento, and we just stood out front of Starbucks. And as people came up, they would recognize him, and then we would run over with the thing, and he would dip the women and then send them on their way. It was so funny.
That
it was
so
funny. And then he loved Eleanor, our receptionist Eleanor. He just thought she was the greatest thing, because Eleanor is the greatest thing. You know? And so he just kept talking about, "So tell me more about Eleanor. She is beautiful." And I'm like, "Yes, Eleanor is beautiful. Thank you." He was so funny, though. That was what, your second week that we did that to you?
That was my second week. It's great. Every weekend, like I said, I love it. Every day is like an adventure, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is like an adventure. And then you get home, and you're like, "What did I do today? I can't remember." Okay, so growing up with this and watching it and everything, do you remember anything about the show, or is it just like a general fog of growing up and remembering these things? Or do you remember like seeing Marianne and Mark and everybody? Or?
I don't remember the stories. I remember the people.
Okay.
So like I definitely remember Marianne, and I remember Mark, and just like watching the show, like kind of, you know, it's one of the things you get ready in the morning and you watch it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it was just a part of my life when I was here. And so I don't remember any exact moments other than the fact that, you know, my little connection, and I technically not my connection, but my sister's connection with Mark, and my little brother, because he was named after him.
It's so weird. That's so surreal. It must be weird. Yeah.
It was so funny. And it was just one of those things, like I said, and I was talking with Melissa, because it was Melissa's idea. She's like, "This should be a live shot. And Mark was all about it too. And so I had texted them, but my sister is not having it. And then
we'll break her down.
Yeah, I know. It'll happen. I keep texting them, and her whole family's all about it. Her kids are like, "Mom, do it." And she's like, "No, like, I don't want to do it." And my brother's like, he's like one of those dudes, and he's like not super talkative. And so Mark would definitely have to carry it, because he'll probably not say very much, and then my sister is gonna either like lock herself in a room and not want to talk to us because she doesn't want to be on TV, you know, or just storm out something crazy.
So you're telling me there's hope for me? I grew up watching Country Boy Eddie. I could one day be on the Country Boy Eddie show.
Yes.
Of course, it doesn't exist anymore. There's always hope for me. What do you do when you're not here? What do you do with your spare time? What do you like to do?
Right now, because I've only been back for a few weeks, and I've been gone for probably more than around a decade or a little bit more from my family, I didn't visit very often, like working in this industry, and then just like being away from school. My parents were always like, school, when I went to school down in Southern California. So I'm just kind of trying to take advantage of that. So that takes up a lot of time. So yesterday, my nieces, my newest niece, there's several of them, several nieces and nephews.
It was a large family.
In a large family. I always say, we're like, my poor boyfriend, like, our wedding is going to be huge when that day comes. Like, we would love a small wedding, but it's just physically impossible. Like, my immediate family with my nieces and nephews alone is like 50 people.
Oh, wow.
So, but it's her. She was just born a month ago, and it's always like the same. 3 days is like the mark of like, oh, like, you made it. Like, you're going to live on, you know? So they celebrate it. And yesterday, just a ton of, I mean, now that I'm back, you have responsibilities. And so, like, just running errands for the family and, like, hours, like, prepping food for today for when people come over and, like, you know, this big party. It's always fun, though. It's great. But I was, like, so exhausted because I just was out so much later than I had initially planned. But it's kind of rewarding. It's nice to be able, because I think because I was gone, my family didn't really expect me to do a lot of that because I wasn't physically here. And so it's nice to be back and be able to like do things with them or for them and like feel a part of my family again.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm the opposite. I'm from Alabama. I'm trying to get as far away from Alabama as I can. Maybe one day I'll end up, you know, Hawaii and then Russia. So I'm like, just keep going away.
I understand the feeling though, because when I left for college, I couldn't wait to get away, but it was one of those things I always felt like I would eventually come back. I just didn't think it'd be this soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
I think you're lovely, you're funny, you're fun, and you're a great addition to this silly thing.
It means a lot.
It's a silly, silly thing.
Because every day I'm like, is it good enough? Like, and I'm always like very nervous. Like, and I'm super, like if I'm like go too short and I go too long, get really, I want to like text the producer. I'm like, I'm so sorry, and try to explain things. And like, it, you know, it's so crazy, like to be somewhere too where everything, I mean, because everybody's used to it. Everything's so off the cuff, and like, the team here is just so good about making it work.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Which is great.
You know, you want to hear something interesting? Do you know who comes up to me all the time and goes, was that funny enough? Was that good enough? Marcus Allen.
Really?
Yeah. All the time. Like, especially when I first started, because we had a mutual friend, and so we kind of knew each other over the years, but we didn't really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came in, and it was interesting. Like, he would always come up to me. He's like, was that funny? Was that okay? I'm like, you're Marcus Allen.
Everybody thinks you're hilarious all the time. Exactly. Even when you're just walking around in a Walmart.
And he still does it. He still does it. He's like, yeah, do you think that's all right? I'm like, yeah, man, come on. You've been doing this forever. So that's funny. You do that, and he does it. So you should feel fine with that. I personally don't care.
That's good.
Clearly.
I'm always really nervous. And I was telling Steve, I was like, every time after the show's over, and I said this today too on the Just Curious, like, who inspires you? I was like, you know, like every day, and it sounds like I'm sucking up or something, but I really feel that way. It's like every day our production staff, our on-air people, everybody cares about what's going on, and you want it to be good and a good product, you know? So every day after the show, I'll go back and I'll watch stuff back. And be like, you know, it's kind of painful sometimes when you watch yourself, but I feel like it's good for me to like be there and be like, I could have done that better. I could have done this differently. Oh. And I kind of like watching everybody else's interactions too, and seeing how like people mesh and like what works and what doesn't. And like,
well, I'm glad you're doing that, because I am not. I am totally not. It needs to go far away from me. I don't need to see it again. I lived it. I'm fine with it. Well, welcome aboard. Thanks for taking the time to do this. I know you're very busy.
No,
there's like
150
relatives that are outside the door right now,
waiting for their barbecue.
You. Yeah, the
and
barbecue.
To fry their egg rolls for them. In case you're wondering, that's a very difficult job. I actually don't have to do it. My sister's gonna have to do it since I did all the kebabs yesterday. But
Does this ceremony have a name, this party thing?
I don't know. The 30-day thing? You know, it's funny. I was asking my sister-in-law about it, because I always say that she's so much more in tune with, like, Vietnamese traditions than I am. I always tell my family, I was like my boyfriend, he's white. So when he met my family for the first time, it was, like, really nerve-wracking for him. And I was like, don't even worry about it. My parents are so over it by now, because I'm the 7th. And my parents got the perfect wedding with my oldest brother, who finally married somebody who's Vietnamese. So everybody else who got married before married out. I was like, you're totally in the clear. Don't even worry about it. It's not even a big deal.
I think we should have like a 30-day little party for you. You made it.
I did.
You survived.
I did, although I said I technically died.
Yes, you did, because we did Sweeney Todd.
Yes. Yeah.
But, oh, my God, that was the first week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was my first weekend on the show. I didn't know that was going to happen. It was fantastic, but I didn't know it was going to happen, so I had to borrow a shirt from one of the people in the play.
We did that to you in the first week?
Yeah, it was that Sunday.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if you didn't see it, it was Sweeney Todd, and they sang a little song, and then they sliced your throat, and then they dumped you down a hole, and there was blood everywhere. That was your first week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Most people would have just packed up and left and gone somewhere
else. I was a great intro. I was like, who gets to do that? I died on air. Clearly, I'm not an actor, though, because you heard me scream after I got my throat slit as I was falling down. But, you know, that's not what I have to do. I don't have to act. So
I can't believe it was the first week, and the second week was Fabio.
Yeah.
That's so great. All right, well, nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think you're a wonderful addition to this insanity.
Thank
I think
you.
You're going to be great, and
it
you're doing
a
wonderful job. I think you really are. And that's it.
That's it.
Come on. How charming is she? Nawin, what a great addition to our goofy little show she has been. I'm so honored to have her play with me on the weekends. Just adorable. Just adorable. Okay, stick around. We got more of these, the history of the show via audio podcast, coming up.
Cody's Podcast.